want answers?
I want the truth.
Then you want Dave Hodges.
Dave Hodges.
The Common Sense Show. You can't dodge the Hodge.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. This is your host, Dave Hodges. Joining me is Annie DeRiso, our news director, and our special guest this evening is attorney Ellen Brown, and we're talking about Libya. In case you missed it, the mainstream media is reporting that Osama bin Laden is dead. Details are yet to be forthcoming, but stay tuned here. We'll release them as we get them. Ellen, do you think this death of Osama will have any kind of repercussions or effects in the Middle East?
Out of Libya? Oh, wait, he wasn't. I mean,
well,
Iraqi.
Yeah,
he wasn't Iraqi. No.
Yeah, I kind of think it's a non-event, but I think this is coming at a time when President Obama needs some kind of PR boost. So,
come to think of it, that is all the other times he was reported dead, it was when we needed a PR boost. I wonder how many times you can report somebody dead and get away with it.
Well, they're saying now that Osama was killed by an American missile, and the DNA has been confirmed that it's Osama bin Laden. So, so much for that.
They have it. Yeah. Oh, I suppose he was in the CIA for a while.
Well, that's a quick confirmation on the ground, isn't it?
Does it say where he was, Dave?
Don't have the details of that, but I kind of agree with Ellen. I think at the end of the day, this is really a non-issue, but I do think the administration is going to try to ramp this up into some kind of victory celebration and look how good and effective our foreign policy is. Meanwhile, we're being robbed blind at the gas pumps, and we're throwing away millions of dollars a day in Libya. Where do you see this Libyan situation escalating to, Ellen? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I really hope they don't bomb that irrigation system. I mean, that really would be, that would put us right in the category of Nazi Germany, I think. I mean, that is their lifeline. They absolutely need that to survive. And those are civilians.
Well, if you're to leave I'm sorry, Ellen, go ahead.
Those are civilians. I mean, it's not like bombing a military base.
I hate to be cynical, but can you cite very many times when the forces behind what's going on have really shown any compassion for the common person?
Yeah, well, that's true, but I mean, I hate to be...
I know that sounds cynical, but...
I hate that it's us, and it's associated with us.
I'm hard pressed, but I'm looking at basically this article that has its origins with the BBC is citing UN sources saying that current food stocks in Libya may only last 45 to 60 days, after which many people will be forced to cut back on meals. And then it says Libya's private economy has been hit by the exodus of foreigners who formerly worked in food production, such as the bakeries and in agriculture, and they have left the country, obviously, for their own safety. Because Gaddafi demanded higher oil prices, this money was siphoned off by the transnational oil corporations and was taken out of the country. Gaddafi was not allowed to reinvest it in his food supply, hence the 45 to 60 days. Now, this is a UN report, and the UN is sanctioning what's going on right now in Libya. So I think we're looking at it. We're on the verge of perhaps a human holocaust.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm surprised that that would happen for lack of money, because I think they have the money. They have, was it 44 tons of gold in the central bank? So
yes,
that hardly makes sense if they just need the money to. And if we're talking about just paying workers, they've got plenty of workers, surely.
Exactly.
They can pay them
with. But profits at any price. Stay tuned. More with Ellen Brown on the other side of this break.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Is the number to call to be part of the show. Once again, that's 1-800-313-9443, or you could email your question or comment to the Common Sense Show at yahoo.com. Joining Annie and I tonight is Attorney Ellen Brown, and we're talking about the events in Libya. And in case you missed it, Osama bin Laden is being reported as having been killed by an American missile. His death has been confirmed by DNA, and I think that's really all you need to know. I don't think that we need to take this any further, because he's been a non-player in the terrorist scene for quite some time now. But let's get back to business. Ellen, you see the possibility in Libya of this being a human holocaust, and I agree, because of the bombing of the irrigation system or the potential bombing. But do you agree with General Wesley Clark that these other nations who aren't playing ball with the Bank of International Settlements are also at risk for invasion?
I do. I think that's been the control game for a long time. That John Perkins said that in Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He was an economic hitman, and he said that was first they tried bribery, you know, to persuade you to go along, and then if that didn't work, then they would assassinate the leader, and then if that didn't work, you were liable to get invaded. So that was just the modus operandi. And I think that we're doing that there. But what's interesting to me is that what you have here are two competing banking systems, and that's pretty much what it's all about. One is a control system, which private parties create our money and pretend that this is pre-existing money, which it isn't. It's money created on the books banks. And then we have to pay interest to them for the privilege of borrowing this created money. And then the other system is a community system in which the money is created by the people themselves through their theoretically representative government, or, you know, a benevolent government of some sort. That may not be the case in, you know, in various places, but that would be the theory. I'm actually writing another book on this. So it goes all the way back to, actually it goes back for 5,000 years to the Sumerians, who had the original banking system. The Sumerians had the original civilization, if you call civilization having written documents. The Sumerians had cuneiform writings in stone, so we still have them. I mean, somebody else may have had writing, but if they were writing on paper, I guess they didn't have paper then, but if they were writing on something perishable, it didn't last. But these chipping it out on stone lasted, so we know they had a written language. And they had many other firsts, and they just appeared out of nowhere. It was, you know, quite remarkable, really, how this civilization appeared. But they had the original banking system as well, which was a communal system where the temple was, it was a religious matriarchy. The queen, Inanna, was also the goddess. And so the temple kept track of all the goods, which were, they didn't actually use coins. It was just an accounting system chipped into these stone pieces. So they kept track of wheat and rye and sheep and cows and various and services. They all had a value attached to them. So you just compared all these different values, and that's how you traded. So it was basically really an accounting system. That was the original system, where they did charge interest, but the interest went back to the temple, and then the temple did charity for the people who needed it. So the temple took care of the sick and the old. And so it was basically a communal system where the money was created by the community, lent, and then the interest paid for taking care of the people who couldn't take care of themselves. So that's one model. And then the other model is where you have money is considered to be gold a precious metals that's in the possession of someone. And then that someone, in order to have money, you have to find somebody to borrow it from. And you have to pay a tribute to that person. And that was the whole usury-based system that private banking system that pretty much took over. But we still have little outbreaks of public banking here and there that then they have to go and quash by whatever means.
At the risk of sounding like a paranoid conspiracy theorist, aren't the congressional notes that John Kennedy had printed, weren't they interest-free, and aren't they similar to what Gaddafi is doing in Libya with regard to his currency?
Well, there's certainly that theory. There was an order that Kennedy signed, and the trouble is it's a bit cryptic, so we're not sure what the order was. There were government-issued money going all the way back to the Civil War, which Lincoln first issued it in order to avoid paying interest to the bankers, largely British bankers, at exorbitant interest rates, 24 to 36% interest they were trying to charge. So that would have put the North in heavily in debt. Even if they won the war, they would have been locked into debt. It's colonized by debt, basically, which is the whole plan. The British colonized all their colonies that broke free. They managed to colonize them by debt. The city of London did. But they didn't capture us until 1913 with the Federal Reserve Act. So Lincoln issued these U.S. notes, or greenbacks. And then when he was assassinated, that whole program was curtailed. But the law was you could continue to renew the existing ones, just enough to, when they wore out, you could put some more replace them with more. So there were U.S. notes floating around all the way up till the 60s after Kennedy was assassinated. So whether he was really planning to do a major issue of that and take over with government-issued money, or whether some people think he was just trying to make it easier on himself to give the treasurer the power to sign these notes so he wouldn't have to do it, whatever it was.
Exactly. But what's interesting to me is now we've talked about three people who intended to use interest-free money that the international bankers can't profiteer from, and two of them were assassinated, and one of them is facing assassination. So maybe I'm not so... Yeah, it's not a smart thing to do. Okay, let's go to the lines and welcome Mark from Georgia. Hi, you're on the Common Sense Show with Ellen Brown, Andy DeRiso, and myself.
Am I correct in understanding that Libya is among the handful of countries that does not have a Rothschild-controlled private central bank? What I'm hearing, and I'm viewing it as a hypothesis that is difficult to test, is that Iraq and Afghanistan were on that list prior to 9/11, and part of the agenda was to knock out any, I don't like to use the word regime, it's just basically people that are saying, we don't want your system of, because usury is where you're actually charging interest on money that existed. This is, I don't know, hyper-usury, fraud, Ponzi scheme, whatever you want to call it, but it's basically gone all around the entire world. And do I understand that correctly, or is there, like I say, it's a hypothesis that makes a whole lot of sense. It explains a lot, but mm-hmm. I know how sneaky the Rothschilds are, so it's not an easy hypothesis to
okay,
verify.
Okay, let's let Ellen have a chance to respond to that. Good question, Mark.
Yeah, well, I totally agree that the rogue nations are all in that category, that they're flaunting the international banking system.
Right.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you want to get really super conspiratorial, you could even mention Japan, but I guess I won't go into that. But anyway, Japan.
No, let's go to Japan here. Tell me how Japan enters into this, because you can't say that and then retreat, Ellen, okay? We got to know about Japan. So we're coming up on a break here, so we may have to finish out of the other side.
But
let's go ahead and explore Mark's idea here that maybe Japan's a victim, too. How do you think they're a victim of this?
Japan has the largest commercial bank in the world, which is a publicly owned bank. It's the Japan Post Bank. For 10 years, there's been an attempt to privatize the Japan Post Bank. It's the reason that the Japanese have managed to have a debt-to-GDP ratio. Their debt is 200% of GDP. It's the largest debt-to-GDP ratio in the world. Interestingly, Libya has the smallest in the world, 3.3%. But they're actually operating on the same model. What the Japanese do is they issue debt and they never pay it back. They just keep rolling it over. It doesn't cost them anything it costs them very little because they're funding it through their own banks. So they're not having to borrow from the IMF and the big international bankers that can then mess around with their interest rate, attack them with short sales, and force them into credit default swaps that are very expensive, et cetera.
Okay, good answer. Mark, thanks for your call. We're going to move along. We were getting a little bit of interference there on Mark's end, but that was a darn good question. But, I have read that, too, about Japan's debt ratio to GDP, and it is quite high. And isn't it interesting that a country who has interest-free money is on the gold standard, is under attack, and they have a sound economy? Maybe there's something we could learn from Libya on this. And you can almost predict what's going to happen. Do you have a similar notion as to what happened in Egypt?
Well, I did see, which was interesting, that the Egyptian revolution was, they were not armed. And in Libya, they're clearly armed by us or by the EU or somebody.
Absolutely.
They've clearly got Western equipment, and they know how to operate it. Where did they get that when they've been under...
Well, that's a good question. And why are Al-Qaeda in Libya, too? And we're going to explore that with Ellen Brown. We come back from the break. Ellen, great thought there, and that's worthy of our further consideration. Stay tuned, everybody.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
This is your call to action, America. It's time to get prepared. Food prices, fuel prices, dollar collapse, earthquakes, tornadoes, nuclear meltdown. Where's your plan? Get one at the Get Prepared Expo in Springfield, Missouri, May 14th and 15th, downtown at the Expo Center. Learn about survival economics, gold, silver, emergency food, water filtration, solar and wind power, heirloom seeds and gardening, how to prepare and defend your home, and hear from John Moore as he speaks about global warming and what the government isn't telling you. And John Stadtmiller with what is in store for you. Plus, meet the 2012 candidate for President of the United States and Sheriff Richard Mack and Larry Pratt. All this and much more at the Get Prepared Expo, May 14th and 15th in Springfield, Missouri, for the low admission price of only $7. Get details now at GetPreparedExpo.com. That's GetPreparedExpo.com. What happens next is up to you. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Our special guest this evening is Ellen Brown, and the number to be a part of the show is 1-800-313-9443. And Ellen, I think that the point you made going into the break is an excellent one. Let's pick it up there, and let's take this a step further with let's talk about the fact that Al-Qaeda has been reported being there, the same people we fought in Iraq or appearing now in Syria. Some people refer to Al-Qaeda as Al-Qaeda because Osama bin Forgotten, or should I say the late Osama bin Laden, headed the Mujahideen, who became Al-Qaeda. And isn't it interesting that we're getting reports on the ground fermenting this revolution?
Yeah, well, in any country, you can find people who are discontented with the government. But the question is that the majority of the people, and do we have any business participating, even if that were true? And then one always suspects that these aren't even the local people. They could be mercenaries. You know, there are a lot of people that need a job, and they'll do whatever they're told to do. So how can we know that we're even on the right side? That's why are we even in there? That's another question. But it does seem like the war is for us, it's for our purposes, not for their purposes.
Well, you just asked a great question. How do we know we're on the right side? Well, I'm one of those Americans that think that international banking is really the enemy of my lifestyle, my standard of living, and that we shouldn't be paying interest for the privilege for using our own money when we could get it interest-free. And then when we go invade a nation, as you contend, is using interest-free money and refuses to participate in the system, that makes us paying tax dollars to the military a total misallocation of our money, because they're not serving the ends of the American people. They're serving the ends of the Bank of International Settlements.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and the Bank for International Settlements itself is set up to serve the banks, and so is our Federal Reserve. You know, well, the thing I'm working on right now is there are 12 banks that have, or sorry, 12 states that have state-owned bank bills pending. So I'm now head of the Public Banking Institute. So we're submitting written testimony in these different states. But the Federal Reserve came up with $12.3 trillion to bail out Wall Street. And then it was suggested that maybe they could come up with that sort of, you know, some credit to help the state and local governments in the same way, since obviously they've got it all. I mean, clearly, yes, that was the tax money. That was money they just created on their books. That's how they operate. So they could do the same thing to sort, you know, these kind of instant liquid credit lines for the state and municipal governments to tide them over. And Ben Bernanke said no, he wasn't going to do that because it's not in his mandate. In other words, the Federal Reserve Act is set up to serve the banks, and that's what they're there for. And the federal government, they do serve the federal government, but they're not there to serve the state and local governments. So we really have to set up our own alternative system just to fund our own businesses. But right now, our own local economies, right now, we're living in a two-tiered system where all the perks are going to the big Wall Street banks, and everybody, they get to borrow from each other at 0.2%, and everybody else is borrowing at 5% and has to worry about credit default swaps and, you know, balancing budgets and all that sort of stuff.
Well, so much for all men are created equal. Let's go to the lines and welcome Roger from Kentucky. Hi, you're on the Common Sense Show.
Taking my call. I don't have a question, but I have an observation. I want to remind you that another function of the community-based banking system in the Middle East was shut down under the guise of stopping terrorist funding. If you recall, they had an informal system for money transfers. They would go to a broker in Baghdad, for example, and you know, if you wanted to get money to your son in America, you would deposit the money with that broker there, who would then communicate with Uncle Abdul in New York, and your son would go to Uncle Abdul, tell him the code word, and Uncle Abdul would give him the money that was supposed to be transferred. And that was shut down because the money transfer fees was taking, you know, that were lost by transferring it through the banks. It was taking golden spoons out of the mouths of the central bankers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a community-based banking system.
Wow.
What was the name of that system, Roger?
I don't recall the name of it, but it was, I remember for, you know, it was in the news for several weeks at one point is something they needed to shut down to make sure that it wasn't used for transferring terrorist funds.
Mm-hmm. I know that they have very few actual banks in Africa. They mostly use telephones now for transferring. They transfer telephone credits, and it's a way of transferring money between people. Everybody has more people have cell phones than have access to a local bank. So, yeah.
That is amazing. Roger, we're up against the break. Do you want to hold over?
No, thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. Great comment. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back with L.M. Brown after a word from these sponsors.
The fire in the sky. Smoke on the wall. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with Lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Welcome back to the show. Our special guest this evening is Ellen Brown, and let's go to the phone lines and welcome Roger from Arkansas to the Common Sense Show. Hi, Roger. What's on your mind?
In reference to the caller just before, we was talking about Iraq. When George Bush made his appearance on the aircraft carrier and said, "Mission accomplished," one of the first things they had on the news after that was that Iraq became a member of the IMF.
Yeah. Highly telling and suspicious.
An observation, yeah.
Well, and After that, I made the observation that, I guess I was wrong, we invaded others, but I figured that the next target was going to be Iran because they still deal in gold and silver, and, you know, the Muslim countries don't believe in usury. And it's interesting... The play by Shakespeare, The Merchant of Venice, was about that whole thing. It was about, you know, a merchant in Venice that wanted to borrow money from a Jew, but he didn't want to pay, wasn't going to pay the interest. And so the Jew wanted to get a pound of flesh out of him if he didn't pay. But in the movie, the opening scene was some Christians tossing a Jew over the rail into the water for the practice of usury. So it's interesting that many years ago the Christians didn't put up with usury, but now they embrace it.
Yeah, that's another thing I'm writing about right now. I'm just writing about public banking. In the early Italian banks, they were highly suspicious of the bankers, and they were really serious about punishing the inability to balance your books. There was actually a case of a banker who was beheaded in front of his bank because he couldn't balance his books. But what I'm actually writing about and what I think is interesting is that banks, the best thing that bankers ever did, really, was to create credit. And that was the thing they were always getting in trouble for. A credit system doesn't work if you lend 100 and you take back 110, and then you lend 110 and take back, if you don't create the interest and you only create the principal and you keep taking back more than you put out there, eventually you're going to have a parasitic pyramid scheme that has to collapse. So that doesn't work. But if you do it as a public system so that the interest goes back to the interest is created along with the principal, so the interest is paid for public services. This was the Pennsylvania model. Interestingly, the Pennsylvania model, the colony of Pennsylvania that Benjamin Franklin wrote about, was the Quaker model. And the Quakers, like the Jews, were an excluded religious sect that were not allowed to go into ordinary business, and so they went into banking. But there, they came up with the public banking model, Pennsylvania, the colony of Pennsylvania would issue currency, and it would spend some of it, and then it would lend most of it. And so there was the money out there to pay principal and interest, so it was sustainable, and the interest was enough to fund the government without taxes.
You know, it's interesting. I read two versions of the Magna Carta. One of them used the word money lenders, and then the other version where money lenders was had the word Jews.
Mm, yeah.
So I don't know which
what
the original one was, but, you know, that was the only difference in the two versions that I read.
Yeah, Merchant of Venice would be politically incorrect today, even though it was brilliant poetry. I mean, you really have to, Shylock was actually, you have to feel bad for him.
I didn't feel bad for him.
Well, I mean, he was a sympathetic character. I thought he was, because he really was.
Well, I don't know. Didn't look too good when he was going to cut out. Had his knife and was
well, that's
to cut.
That's true. But I mean, you could relate to him. Like, he's very human, and that was typically Shakespearean. I don't know if you ever saw it. There was a movie called The Rothschilds, and it was in the daughter of the Rothschilds was played by. Oh, I can't remember her name, but she's like blonde, Swedish. This was in the 30s, and they didn't worry too much about typecasting. But it totally characterized the Rothschilds in a very favorable light. And they were like totally discriminated against in Germany, and they were attempting to vindicate themselves. You know, they were going to show that they're worth by. Banking because they were excluded from other forms of doing it. I mean, you could certainly sympathize with their point of view. I don't mean to romanticize them either way, but I always hesitate to blame any particular people or anything like that. I think it's the system. The system is wrong, and if you could kill off all the bad guys, and you would have more bad guys as long as you had the loopholes allowing this sort of graft to go on. What you need is a system that's that works, that's sustainable.
Amen, Ellen. Annie and I have tried to make that argument several times on this show. Hey, Roger, thanks for the call. Good call. Let's move along to Lee in Georgia. Hi, you're on the Common Sense Show with attorney Ellen Brown.
Good evening. I'd like to expand on Roger's statement. As when he mentioned how Bush register on the carrier and submission accomplished and all. And I was wondering, if I'm seeing this the wrong way, please tell me. But I think about how over the decades, if you look at all of the countries where what I call American interference in the name of spreading democracy, and then we think about all of the areas around the world where we're seeing these protests, civil unrest, open peaceful rebellion, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, I'm kind of wondering if maybe isn't, if all of this isn't tied in together somehow, because everywhere the United States has gone and occupied, as Roger so aptly pointed out, we see almost immediately the emergence of a central bank.
Well, yep. Tied into the BIS. Yeah, Ellen, do you think Lee has a point here?
Totally. And Libya has a central bank, of course, but it has to be a central bank that's part of their system and then that's complying with Bank for International Settlement rules.
What I'm wondering is if America's interference, as I refer to it, in other countries may not be part of a major player in why we see all of this going on all at the same time. It's a complete breakdown of the system.
Sorry, a breakdown of what?
A complete breakdown of the entire system.
Yeah.
We're on a global scale.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Well, some people think that that's the goal, Ellen. And, Lee, we're going to move along here. We've got a bad connection, but thanks so much for your good questions. Ellen, some people think that that's what these people are really up to. They would like to crash the currencies of the world so they can introduce the their version of the worldo.
It was, the dollar was originally backed by gold when we had lots of money, and then when we started going into our debt ourselves, in order to maintain our dominance, we had to back it with something else, and so supposedly Henry Kissinger met with some other world leaders at a Bilderberger meeting in Sweden in 1973, and they were figuring out how to maintain the supremacy of the dollar, which was had lost like 40% of its value after it went off the gold standard, and they decided that they would back it by oil. So they forced up the price of oil, and they, through this short war that they, of course, triggered, the 12-day war, and they went to the OPEC countries and said, we are going to make you very rich. We're going to quadruple the price of oil. But in return, you will sell your oil only in dollars, and you will deposit it in our New York and London banks. And that deal was what kept the dollar strong for the next 40 years, and I read somewhere that they very cleverly, instead of calling this imperialism, as the British called it, or the British Empire, they were going to call it making the world safe for democracy. And so you can pretty well interpret all those wars after that in those terms, that the Cold War was really all about that, and when the Iron Curtain came down, then they needed other enemies, and so they created the enemies in order to maintain that whole system.
Annie and I like to call him the boogeyman. Let's go to Warner in New Brunswick. Hi, welcome to the Common Sense Show. You're on the line with Ellen Brown.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As I say, it's a late night university study.
Yes.
International.
Well, welcome.
I got a question.
Where are you from?
I live in New Brunswick. I'm originally from Germany.
Oh, okay.
I got a question. The Federal Reserve, I understand, is an international banking consortium. Now, the shares of those member banks, are they being traded at the stock exchange?
No, that's the thing, and that's why they will say they're not privately owned in the ordinary way, but they certainly are. There are 12 Federal Reserve banks. each one is owned by the banks in its district. So, for example, the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, the largest and the one that pretty well dominates, is owned by about 500 banks. And the banks, even though they can't trade the shares, that, and they're forced to buy the shares in order to buy into the Federal Reserve System, they do get a 6% guaranteed annual dividend on this stock. So it's really literally a money-making private money-making corporation.
My next question, a lot of the pension funds and private investment portfolios of government employees and politicians and other private persons, do they own shares in those banks? Do they have invested in those banks?
I guess I don't understand the question. And the only shareholders are banks. Banks are the shareholders of the Federal Reserve.
But,
the local banks, for example, we've been working on these public banking bills, and so I know people in Oregon who are working on their bills. So I know a banker there, and he said that he checked around, and none of the local banks in Oregon belong to the Federal Reserve. And the reason is they can't afford it. It's very expensive to buy the shares that you need to buy to be a member. And you obviously get certain perks as a member that you don't get as a local bank. And so that's the point of setting up a state-owned bank, that it can be a member of the Federal Reserve and have those lines of liquidity that it then shares with the local banks.
Direction why I'm asking about is that people that are in the decision-making process, you know, politically and administratively in government positions, do they have any kind of a vested interest that those banks make a profit?
They totally do. Jamie Dimon.
That's why they do it.
Yeah, Jamie Dimon, who is CEO of J.P. Morgan, is on the board of the Federal Reserve. And he was on the board when they made a $55 billion loan to J.P. Morgan to buy Bear Stearns. Now,
In other words, there's a conflict of interest by people in decision-making positions in the government.
Right, but
you know, Warner, let me just interject this. There's too many conflicts of interest with regard to the Federal Reserve to even identify them all in the short time we have with Ellen. Look, we're all going to be up against the break soon, Warner. I want to thank you for your call all the way from New Brunswick. Ellen, I think you've made a very compelling case that the average American does not know about, that we're in Libya for very nefarious reasons to basically force compliance into an international banking cartel or membership into it. And we're looking at a potential humanitarian disaster of epic proportions, and that we need to go to the same kind of banking system that Gaddafi has. So how can the listening audience help you in the furtherance of this cause? What can we do?
Well, we have now established this Public Banking Institute, which we're trying to further state-owned banks in every state. So it seems to me that you can't really fight Wall Street. They're too big. They own Congress already. And, in fact, we can't even really oppose them. It really almost has to be a win-win in order to win. But what we can do is set up our own alternative system. And the place where we do still have some leverage is in the states. You can have, in my state you can even do initiatives, but it would be difficult to do an initiative on a state bank because people won't understand it. It'll be hard to go into a supermarket and talk people into signing your petition. But you can talk to legislators. And anyway, our website is publicbankinginstitute.org, and we have state coordinators that are working in the different states, and we're always looking for anyone interested in helping.
Please give that website address out again.
Okay, it's www.publicbankinginstitute.org, and then that's ORG. And then my regular website is webofdebt.com, and I have like 100 articles on there, so I have all the information I know about everything there.
And if the people forget about that, they can just Google your name, Ellen Brown and Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And,
go right to you. My book has just come out in Spanish, so So if I don't know if you have listeners who are Spanish speaking, but it's so I have another website. It's I can't even say it. Telerana de. Anyway, it's in Spanish as well.
Is the information on how to get that website located on your website?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
I lived in Latin countries for 8 years, and my Spanish is still terrible.
Well, I think that for our Spanish-speaking friends, they're going to have a degree of bilingual ability anyway. So if they go to your website, webofdebt.com, they can certainly access that information there if they're more comfortable reading about it in Spanish. Well, Ellen, I think that you have some wonderful ideas, and I clamor for the day that we basically get rid of this monstrosity called the Federal Reserve, or if we can't do that, at least get into a state system. And when we come back from the break, we're going to put a cap on this wonderful interview with Ellen Brown. Stay tuned, everybody. More with Ellen on the other side of these messages.
I opened up the paper to the page in the back. It only took a minute for my finger to find my daily dose of destiny under my sign.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
It's now possible to pay $5, $10, or $20 per month for our archives, and that's if you'd like to donate to this great network and keep the message of freedom alive. You can also subscribe to for the small rate of merely $1.33 per month. And one additional reminder, we have generic RBN business cards available, only $10 per 100. This includes shipping, free bumper stickers, and a free copy of that classic, Aaron Russo's From American Freedom to Fascism. You can get yours by writing when sending your check or money order to 2250. 151 Double Creek Boulevard, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or make it easy on yourself. Call with a credit card during business hours at 1-800-724-2719. And joining us this evening has been author Ellen Brown, and we've talked about primarily talked about Libya. We've talked about the Federal Reserve System and the need to get off interest-based money and go to a system like Gaddafi has. Isn't that amazing? I'm saying go to a system like Gaddafi. If I were to go out in the street and say that, people would think I was a terrorist or I'd lost my mind. But Ellen, you've made a very compelling case, and I want to have you back on at a future time to talk about something that I wanted to discuss tonight, but we didn't get to, and that's the subject of CAFRs, where we really might have a whole lot more money stashed away in government than we possibly could realize.
Mm-hmm. And we could tap into that with our state-owned bank. That's part of what I'm writing about, yeah.
Oh, I know, and we're going to have a return visit perhaps later this summer. But, Ellen, you've been a delightful and very informative guest, and I want to thank you once again for being such a good friend of the show and sharing your insights with us.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Okay.
Pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ellen Brown. And let me go to someone who's been kind of silent tonight, my good friend and our news director, Annie DeRiso. And, Annie, you notice how much attention I did not give Osama bin Laden, because his death has far less effect on us than the $75 million a day we're spending in Libya and the continuing rape of the American economy by the Federal Reserve and the international, or those international bankers called the BIS. That's where our attention needs to be focused, and that's why Osama bin Forgotten simply got a mere mention from me.
Well, he could have been dead, you know, years ago, but they may try to use this to get a Muslim uprising against the West or against Europe.
Well,
you know,
I see this
every
as
every excuse.
Annie, I agree with you, and I see this as perhaps the feeding frenzy for a which will underlie another, false flag attack.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
A better way. You know, the Americans are waking up. And the powers that be are afraid of that, and we're beginning to question why we're in three wars. I mean, even the less aware of us are questioning that lack of wisdom. So what better way to scare us into compliance with another false flag attack based on the death of Osama bin Forgotten, who probably has been dead for several years and whose death does not add up to a hill of beans with regard to what's going on?
Yeah, it took us years and years to get into this situation, but we can't wait years and years to get out of it.
Oh,
something
I agree.
It's got to break the paradigm.
Paris Hilton, Lindsay Lohan, the birth certificate issue, and now the death of Osama bin Forgotten. I mean, where does this trivia end? Because, folks, these issues do not, underline, do not affect your life. The issues we talked about with our guest tonight, Ellen Brown, do affect your life. Now, I'm going to wait for your emails this week to see, and we have to have them by Wednesday, to see what we're going to do next week in Annie in our absence as we celebrate Mother's Day with our families. And certainly I have to celebrate it with my wife on behalf of my son, but I'll think of my mom in spirit. And Mom, know you're looking down on me, and just wanted to tell you I love you very much. And Annie, I know you get to spend time with your mom, who's, what, over 90 years old?
94,
that's phenomenal. But we will be back on May 15th with Barb Peterson as we talk about some really spooky stuff going on with Monsanto. This even defies belief. Anyway, Annie, I hear the music. Really appreciate Ellen Brown being a guest tonight, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Don't forget to catch our rerun.